to turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. John said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And then verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with this message that I've entitled, The Voice of My Victory. The Voice of My Victory. Do you know that God has paid the price so that we could not just survive in this life, but so that we could be victorious in this life? Amen. Why don't you put your Bibles down and let's put our hands together and let's lift our voice with a voice of triumph and let's magnify the Lord together right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you glory and honor, God. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for the truth of the word, God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Let's just let it rise in this place right now. He has given us victory. There is no enemy. There is no weapon. There is no circumstance that can defeat the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a great day to be a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to tell you this truth today, that if the enemy could destroy you, he would have already done it. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He is not able to defeat you. He is not able to destroy you. He is not able to stop what God is doing in the earth. In fact, every time he tries to do something against the church, God just uses it for something good. It's like Joseph and his brothers. You know, his brothers thought, hey, I'm going to put him down in this pit. We're going to sell him into slavery. We're going to get him out of our life. But what they did not realize is that what they meant for evil, God meant for good. What they didn't realize is that they were just putting him on the path to his promise. Amen. They were just pushing him into the place where his dream could come true. And that's what happens in our life. When we are loving God and we are walking according to his purpose, then it doesn't matter what the enemy brings against us. It doesn't matter what the world brings against us. It doesn't matter how our culture tries to crush us and move in on our minds and our spirit, because God just turns it around and makes it for our good. Amen? Why don't you put your hands together for that? If the devil could destroy you, he would have already done it. If he could stop the church, if he could slow us down, if he could keep us from winning the lost, if he could keep us from ministering to people and changing people's lives, he would have already done it. But he cannot, and so he will not, and he never will, because the Bible says to the increase of God's government, there shall be no end. We are part of the winning side. Amen. We're on the winning side. How about that? It doesn't matter what the world comes against us. It doesn't matter what happens. We are winning today. Glory. I've also come to proclaim that there is power in the blood. I said there's power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Amen. It is still just as powerful as it was the day that he shed it on the cross for us. The blood is still washing away sins. The blood is still effective today. It is still doing its work. There is still life in the blood. Amen. And so if your sins are as scarlet today, you're in the right place, because the blood is still making sin white as snow. Throughout the Old Testament, God required blood for atonement. The Bible says that Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not, because it included blood. The blood was used in Egypt to protect the Israelites from the death angel. The Bible says that he told them to kill a lamb and to take the blood and to put it on the doorpost and upon the lintel of the door. And when the angel of death passed over Egypt, that when he saw the blood, that he would not go into that house and death would not come to that family. The tabernacle plan was set up so that blood would be shed and ultimately sprinkled on the mercy seat, and there God would receive it as an atonement for sin. In Psalm 51, David asked the Lord to purge him with hyssop so that he could be clean from his sins. Hyssop was the branch dipped in blood and sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Day of Atonement. When David asked to be purged with hyssop, he was asking that his sins be covered over by the atoning blood of the Lamb. And so we know today that the atoning blood is the blood shed by Jesus Christ on Calvary for our sins. It is not an old message. It is still the same message. It is not an outdated message, but it is still just as real in 2018 as it has ever been. The blood of Jesus still washes away our sin. Amen. In the Old Testament, the blood of the Lamb was just a temporary fix. It was just an atonement for a year. It was just a rolling ahead of all the sins, and they were never truly clean. But the prophet Isaiah, he in prayer and in study and understanding of God's ways, he looked beyond in his prophecy, and he looked beyond that and went to a day that it would be different. The Bible says in Isaiah 1 and 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He looked beyond the time of the Old Testament. He looked into a time where Jesus would die on the cross. He opened for us a fountain of life's blood for us. Jesus Christ shed innocent blood for our sins. Before that moment, the Bible says that the law of sin and death was, if you sin, you die. That was the law. There was no way around it. If you sin, you die. And so many lambs and bullocks and goats and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all the gallons and gallons upon thousands of gallons of blood that was shed in the Old Testament was not enough. But Jesus came, and when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Yes, sir. Amen. Well, what a powerful truth it is that he was that one spotless lamb, that he shed his blood for us that we might have life. Because in the Old Testament, the law said, if you sin, you die. And so the only way to break the law, the only way to crush its influence, the only way to take it out of the way is for someone that had never sinned to die. And the only way someone that never sinned to die was that he had to choose to die, because God manifest himself in the flesh. He robed himself. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And on that cross, when he said, "It is finished," and everything began to shake and move, and the sky was darkened, and the earth broke open, and graves opened, and the resurrection power flowed around the earth. The Bible says they saw dead people living again because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then he rose again from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. What happened? Why was the earth in such upheaval? Why did the sky darken? It was not just because it was a death, but it was a law that was broken. The law said, you sin, you die. But the blood of Jesus and the death of Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. And so when the sinless one was made sin, when the sinless one gave up his last breath for us, the law of sin and death was broken. And now it is no longer binding in our life. All we have to do is follow the scripture and to obey the word of God. And we take on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do not have to die ourselves, but he is asking us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And so now we walk in scripture and we repent of our sins and we are baptized in water in Jesus' name. We are buried with him in baptism, the Bible says. And then we rise in newness of life by the infilling and the power of the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the spirit that will quicken our mortal bodies. Amen. The blood still works. John 19 and 34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Leviticus 17, 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. By him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. We have redemption through his blood. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkled on the unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 Peter 1 and 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The precious blood of Christ. And as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I want you to know that God has given himself. He has surrendered his life. He shed his blood so that you and I could be saved. So this blood washes us white as snow. It reconciles us back to God. It blots out the handwriting of ordinance, the Bible says. What was that? There was a warrant for our arrest. We deserved death, but he blotted it out. The blood heals us. The blood releases us for our greatest victory. The Bible says in Revelations 12 and 11 that they overcame him. They overcame who? They overcame the accuser of the brethren. That dragon, that devil, that serpent that accused us day and night before God. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But that was not it. They also overcame by the word of their testimony. Amen. There's power in the blood. In a physical sense, the world says, the science says that there's also power in sound. Amen. The use of disconcerting noise to unsettle the enemy is hardwired into the most animals in our animal kingdom. They use noise. The rattlesnake rattles. The lion roars. All the things. They use noise to paralyze their enemies. But there's also power in sound for us. From warnings and battle roars of confrontational beasts, the sounds, to armies go with trumpets and drums and bugles and bagpipes and devilish war cries and taunts and piercing shrieks used by humans in their conflict. Noise has power. There is no doubt that the correct application of sound can instill fear into the hearts of the enemies. Amen. Noise has power. Amen. And we have to put a voice to our faith. Modern science has discovered that there is indeed physical power in sound. Sound is harnessed and focused by modern science and practical surgeries and to destroy kidney stones and all this. Sound waves are used to do that. Sound is a wave that is able to destroy things that it hits if it's focused properly. Composed of two elements, a sound wave is frequency and amplitude. That wave forms, these waves form a singular ability to move whatever it comes in contact with. It shakes, it rattles, it moves, it vibrates its way into every molecule. Even the densest granite vibrates in a minuscule sense as sound waves pass through it. These waves, these shock waves, change everything that it touches. And so in our own life, the Bible says that there is power in the blood. They overcame the enemy with the blood of the Lamb. But that was not all. The Bible says that they overcame him with the blood and the word of their testimony. And so we have to give our victory a voice today. It is the voice of my victory because I have been washed in the blood. Oh, I did not deserve to be cleansed today, but his mercy gave me the opportunity to obey the scripture and to walk in obedience. And in the waters of baptism, the blood was applied to my life and it washed me clean. In repentance, I made a turn from the world and to the church, and God has washed me by his power, by his blood. He has cleansed me. And so whenever the voice of the enemy speaks into my life and says, you can't, you won't ever change, I just have to tell him, say, wait a minute, what about the blood? The blood of the Lamb washes me. The blood of the Lamb cleanses me. The blood of the Lamb has changed my life. Amen. It is the voice of my victory when I proclaim what God has done. When I send into the atmosphere the power of my testimony that I was this, but now I am not. I was a sinner, but now I am saved by grace. I was all the things that you say about me, devil, but all because of the blood, now I am cleansed. Amen. We must proclaim it. We need to speak faith into our lives. You know, we see David, he shows up on the battlefield. He hears the giant echoing his voice across the valley saying, send me a man. And David was, there's something that stirred up in David's inside. And he spoke his faith. He said, look, is there not a cause? somebody will go and fight this man. Does he know who he is? He is a Philistine. Does he know who we are? We are the armies of God. Does he know who he's defying today? And he is defying the very armies of the living God. And he proclaimed it out loud. His brother said, "You can." He said, "Hey, is there not a call? Somebody's going to go fight." David testified to Saul. He said, "Hey, Saul, I know I'm not big. I know I'm not able. I know I don't have all the armor, and I don't have it all together, but there was a lion. I know that he's pretty big out there, but I want to tell you about a bear." Sometimes you got to bring up the past victories to make sure the enemy knows you know who you are. David not only proclaimed to his brothers, he not only proclaimed to Saul, but he proclaimed to Goliath. When he ran out there and Goliath tried to put him down with his negative words, he said, "Who am I? Am I a dog that you would come and fight with me, with a boy that just don't have any power? You just come with me with sticks and stones and you think you're going to defeat me?" But David said, "Oh, wait a minute. You may think I'm just a boy, but I'm not coming with my sling. I'm not coming with my ability. But I come to you in the name of the Lord." I want you to know today, we've got to give victory a voice. The enemy wants to speak down to us. He wants to silence us. He wants us to stop building churches. He wants us to stop planting churches, Brother Williams. He wants us to hold on to what we got. But I speak into the Spirit today that we're marching forward and we're going to plant churches. We're going to give to missions. We're going to keep doing more and more and more till Jesus comes. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're not done. We're not going to hide in the corner and lock the doors and hope we can make it. But we are marching into the valley today and saying, "Hey, we come in the name of the Lord." Amen. God's power is constant. He is always God. His blood is always powerful. It is just as powerful today as it was when he shed it. The Bible says that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that there is no shadow of turning in him. He is always God. He doesn't need to be bigger. He doesn't need to be stronger. He doesn't need to work out to try to have more endurance, to have more strength. He is God. The only variable in the equation is our faith. And David's faith is what tapped into that power. He released it. He unleashed the power of God on Goliath, upon his enemies. Not just by the constancy of God, but he did it by the power of his testimony. He spoke it into existence because he did it by faith, and his faith was built on his experience that God had already done it before. And so I've come to tell somebody in this place that you must give your victory a voice. There are obstacles and trials in your life that will only be overcome by a voice of faith that you will speak out loud. There is an accountability when you look somebody in the eye and say, "Hey, I may be down today, but don't rejoice against me yet, because I'm going to be up again. Oh, I may be having trouble today, but don't worry about me, because I'm getting back up. I may have sinned yesterday, but oh, I found blood today. And I'm going to be right with God." There's an accountability and there's a power in your proclamation today that I am going to live for God. I am going to move forward. I am going to defeat the enemy. I am going to be happy. I am going to be joyful. I am going to be victorious. We've got to give victory a voice. It's time we loosed it in our life. God is constant. The blood is already there. The power of God will never be greater than it already is. But we've got to give voice to it. We've got to pull the trigger and let the testimony go. We've got to let the testimony, we've got to let the faith out of our mouth. We've got to speak it. Amen. I know we feel like the guy in the New Testament said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's all right. Because his first words were, I believe. He just admitted to being human. Amen. There's sometimes you come up against a battle and you're like, well, God's done it before. I hope he does it again. Hey man, you get the phone call from the doctor. He said, well, he's healed me before. I hope he heals me again. And so sometimes you feel human, but that's all right. When it's all said and done, you've got to put a powerful, positive voice to your faith. You've got to speak it. Hey, God has done it. And then sometimes you got to be like the three Hebrew boys that went into the fire. They said, we know that God can bring us out. But you know what, devil? If he doesn't bring me out, I'm going to go in praising his name, and I'm going to go to heaven praising his name. No matter what happens, I will not bow. And so we speak faith. Amen. And so today it doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what kind of battle you have. The blood of Jesus is still powerful. His anointing is still breaking the yoke. His spirit is still changing the world. Amen. He's able. We see in the first part of Revelation 12 the struggle that occurred at the time of Christ's birth. It outlines for us the spiritual upheaval that took place between kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. There was an intense battle that was raging. There was a war in the heavens as Satan tried to stop the promised one from being born. And when we come to our text, verse 11, we understand that spiritual warfare that is taking place to birth the church age. The enemy hates the church. The enemy hates it because he knows God loves it. The enemy hates those that are part of the church because he knows God redeemed you, that you are purchased with a price, that you are not your own, that he loved you so much that he gave himself for you. He knows that you are the church, you are the body of Christ, and that he is our head, but we are the victorious church. We are going up and not down. Amen. So verse 11 deals, first of all, with the beginning of the church age, which started in the book of Acts, and it is referring to the struggles and victories of that book of Acts church. But the core message that seems to pulsate through the chapter is found here in these verses, because in spite of all the trouble, in spite of all the battles, in spite of all the wars, in spite of the fact the devil is fighting with every trick in the book, in the face of all that, John said, hey, I heard a voice. And it said, salvation and strength is coming. The kingdom of God is being established. The power of Christ is starting to be manifested. That's enough to shout about right there. But wait, there's more. Don't call in just yet, there's more. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, the enemy that tries to put us down. I've come to tell somebody in the house that the enemy is defeated. Oh, the Bible speaks things that are not as though they are. It reaches into the future and says he has been defeated. He is already down. His future is already sealed. You don't have to worry about it. You can be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. He is going down. The Bible says he's cast down. That is present tense. The accuser is cast down. One songwriter put it like this, I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me because he's under my feet. Amen. I can go to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from me because he's already been cast down. Amen. The accuser has no voice today, but victory has a voice. The blood is still proclaiming our innocence. The blood is still proclaiming our victory. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. He can try to say all he wants to, that he's going to kill us, that he's seeking whom he may devour, that he's going to destroy, that he's going to stop it. But oh, I want you to know that it was past tense. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Who are they? You know, it's the understood they. They are always doing everything, right? But when the Bible speaks of they here, that is us. That is us. By the key word here is they overcame, past tense. It means to subdue. They conquered. They prevailed. They got the victory. The word declares that they overcame him, the enemy, the adversary of our souls. They subdued him. They conquered him. They prevailed over him. That's us. We were victorious. It doesn't say that they shall overcome. It doesn't say that they will overcome one day. It doesn't even say that they should come, that they should overcome eventually. But you got to get this. It says they overcame him. In other words, the victory has already been sealed. It's a done deal. Another writer, may not be quite as spiritual, said it's signed, sealed, and delivered. It's a pretty wonderful message, I guess. The devil is defeated. He's already lost. Oh, he whispers in your ear, hey, you're going to fall. Not going to make it. This trial is too big. This struggle is too hard. This battle is too hot. You can't make it. But oh, wait a minute. I've already overcome. I've already overcame you, devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. They overcame by, on account of, on the grounds of, because of the blood, by virtue of it being shed. Satan's accusations against us would be unanswered because we have all sinned, but the blood of Jesus answers for us. The blood of Jesus. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but the blood. We deserve the death angel, but the blood. We deserve death, but the blood. Oh, our sins are like scarlet, but the made as white as snow. My life has been a failure, but the blood. But God made a difference. God made a difference. Thank God for the blood. Oh, somebody ought to say thank God for the blood today. Amen. An old poet wrote about this. He said, I asked them from whence their victory came. And they with united breath ascribed their conquest to the Lamb, their triumph to his death. Amen. If you ask where my victory comes from, if you ask why I am triumphant today, I'll tell you, it's the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the precious blood. By the word of my testimony today. There's a testimony that wants to be birthed in this house today. You have walked in here under a cloud of doubt and a heaviness of failure, of regret, the heaviness of what might have been, what could have happened, what could have gotten. What could God have done? But here we are. The blood of Jesus is in the house right now. Through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the life, power, resurrecting power of Jesus Christ filling us with his Spirit. Old things are passed away. every failure, every shortcoming, every sin, every regret, every shame, every guilt. The Bible says that they will not be ashamed. The writer said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But I like to say this as well, and it's true just as well as that. I'm not ashamed because of the gospel, because it is the power. Oh, my righteousness, filthy rags, but his blood makes me have a robe of white, pure and clean, without spot, without wrinkle. Amen. Somebody needs to give your victory a voice today. Could we stand to our feet? Oh, Jesus is in the house. The enemy wants to condemn, but God wants to convict. Condemnation says you'll never be and go away. Don't try. But conviction says, I love you. I've come to wash you. I've come to make you clean. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but God wants to give life. He wants to redeem you today. The voice of my victory is my testimony. Oh, my testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, could we love him right now? This altar is open. This altar is open. Let's come and pray. Let's give our guilt and our shame to him. Let's proclaim liberty in our lives from sin, liberty from the guilt, liberty from the weight and shame of life. Oh, we give you the glory, God. We give you the praise, oh God. We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. It's still just as real. Is still just as real. Yes, be washed in the blood today. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name. If you have already done that and you feel guilty today, all you have to do is repent. Just confess with your mouth, and he is faithful and just to forgive. He's faithful and just. Hallelujah. Oh, let's love him today.
The enemy has been
defeated. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Death could